Alright, let's build a Roughneck-style breakdown that actually feels like a pressure chamber, not just a filtered loop with some reverb on it. In jungle and old-school influenced D&B, the breakdown is not dead space. It's where you reset the floor, create contrast, and make the drop come back with real authority. The goal here is to strip the track down without losing its identity. You want the listener to still hear the DNA of the tune, just in a thinner, grittler, more dangerous form. The smartest move is to start from the drop, not from scratch. Duplicate your main 8-bar or 16-bar drop section into the arrangement and turn that into your breakdown version. That gives you a solid frame immediately. Then remove the heavy impact elements first. Pull out the sub. Thin the kick. Clear away the busiest percussion. Keep the pieces that make the tune recognizable, like the main break character, a signature stab, a vocal slice, or a little transition hit. And here's the first important thing to hear for. If the section still feels like the same track, but with the floor dropped out from under it, you're on the right track. If it starts sounding like a different song entirely, you've probably removed too much identity. Now let's build the rhythmic spine. For this style, don't just loop a full break over and over and call it a breakdown. That's too easy, and it usually sounds lazy. Chop the break into phrases. Move a snare ghost. Drop in a little hat flurry. Reorder a kick pickup. Insert a tiny amen tail. In Ableton, you can do that right in arrangement view by slicing the audio or by consolidating a phrase and editing the clips from there. If you want, you can use simpler in slice mode, but for a serious breakdown, direct audio editing often feels more committed and more authentic. A good way to think about it is this. The break should still move forward even when the section is sparse. Let bars 1 and 2 breathe. Bring in a small fill or reverse hit around bars 3 and 4. Add a little more syncopation in bars 5 and 6. Then use the last couple of bars to turn the tension upward before the return. That phrase shape matters. It's part of what makes old-school D&B feel so functional. What to listen for here is forward motion. If the groove collapses the moment the main kick disappears, the edits are too polite. The breakdown should still have attitude, even when it's stripped back. Next, give the bass a ghost of itself. You do not need full sub to make the breakdown feel weighty. In fact, removing the sub is what makes the return hit harder. But if you leave complete silence, you can lose some of the tune's memory. So a bass after image is often the sweet spot. One approach is the ghost bass method. Duplicate the bass track, then strip the low end with EQ 8 so anything below roughly 90 to 120 Hz is gone. Low pass the top if needed, maybe somewhere around 500 Hz to a couple of kilohertz depending on the sound. Add a little saturator, just enough to keep presence on smaller systems. Let it pulse lightly, like a memory of the drop. Another option is the bass question mark approach. Keep only the first note of a phrase, or hold a single note and automate auto-filter, so it opens a little over the bar or a section. You can also add a tiny delay tail or a reverb send, but keep that on the upper layer, not the sub. If you want more suspense and more space, this is the move. Why this works in D&B is simple. The listener's brain expects the bass to continue. When you give them just a hint instead of the full weight, you create tension without clutter. And when the drop comes back, it feels bigger because of what you took away. Very important here. Keep anything below around 120 Hz mono and stable. If your bass after image starts getting wide down low, it might sound impressive in headphones, but it will fall apart on a club system. Now bring in filter movement, but make it purposeful. Don't do a generic sweep just because it's there. Use auto filter on the break bus, on the bass remnants, and maybe on a stab or a vocal layer. In a Roughneck breakdown, the filter should feel like somebody is opening and closing a sampler window, not like a trance riser trying to steal the scene. A practical move is to high-pass the breakdown bus somewhere around 80 to 180 Hz, depending on how dense the section is. Then slowly move a low-pass or band-pass over 4 to 8 bars. Keep the resonance under control unless you specifically want that nasty peak. One really effective trick is to open one layer while another closes. For example, let the top of the break get brighter while the bass texture darkens, or let a vocal stab open for one phrase hit while the rest of the section stays tighter. What to listen for is detail, not just loudness. If the section gets louder but not more exciting, the automation is too blunt. Now choose one strong motif and let that carry the emotional weight. That could be a vocal chop, a horn stab, a rave chord, or a short synth phrase. In this style, one memorable element usually hits harder than three competing hooks. Place it with phrase logic. Maybe it lands on beat 1 of bar 1, answers on the end of 2 in bar 2, changes slightly in bar 4, and gives you a final warning hit in bar 8. Keep it short, leave room for the break. If it's a sample, warp it tightly and lock the timing in. If it's MIDI, shorten the note lengths so it doesn't overstay its welcome. A little echo throw or a short reverb can help, but keep the returns under control. The space should feel spacious, not washed out. And this is where a lot of people go wrong. They make the FX more important than the motif. Don't do that. The motif is the hook of the breakdown. The FX are just the frame around it. Now let's shape the whole thing with actual phrase discipline. Old school and Roughneck inspired DNB lives and dies on structure. A good breakdown usually respects 4-bar or 8-bar logic even when the edits are rough and gritty. A strong way to think about it is to use the first 4 bars to establish the stripped groove. Then the next 4 bars can introduce a variation or answer phrase. If you're doing a longer 16-bar section, the middle can build the tension a little more, and the final 4 bars should clear space for the return or fake out. That's especially useful if you want the section to feel DJ-friendly. Clean 8-bar and 16-bar phrasing is still a huge part of what makes this music work in a set. What to listen for is whether the section resolves cleanly at the end of a phrase. If it feels awkward for a DJ to mix out of or back into, your phrase length probably needs a rethink. Use tension FX sparingly. A reverse crash into the first bar is great. A downlifter or tape stop style moment before the return can work. A short noise riser over the final 2 bars is enough if the arrangement is strong. You do not need a pile of transition devices. In fact, the more the FX start carrying the emotion, the more your musical core is probably too weak. Ableton stock tools are enough here. Echo for dubby throws. Reverb for smeared transitions. Utility if you need to check mono or width. Saturator if you want a slightly dirtier edge. Auto filter for controlled opening and closing movement. Keep it practical. Now here's a really important advanced move. Test the handoff into the drop, not just the breakdown by itself. Loop the last 4 bars of the breakdown into the first 2 bars of the return and listen carefully. Ask yourself whether the break edits leave space for the first kick and snare to land. Ask whether the bass comes back like a release, not just a volume jump. Ask whether the turnaround creates anticipation without over-explaining the next section. If the return feels flat, the breakdown may be too busy. Remove one layer. Maybe a ghost note. Maybe a reverb tail. Maybe the last fill. If the return feels too sudden, add one setup gesture, like a snare fragment, a filtered bass pickup, or a short vocal breath. That's enough. And here is a good reminder. Solo can lie to you. A chopped break or filtered bass ghost might sound too empty on its own, but in context it can be exactly right. Always judge the breakdown against the return, not in isolation. Once the movement is working, consider printing it. Resample the breakdown bus or consolidate it to audio. That's a very smart move in advanced DNB, because it turns a moving target into something you can arrange more confidently. It also helps with CPU, and it lets you make phrase-level edits without constantly reopening the same loop. Name your prints properly. Something like Breakdown Roughneck Print V3 is boring, but it saves your life later. Versioning matters. Keep one version sparse, one with more tension, one with a fake-out. That way you can compare arrangement choices instead of just guessing. Then do a final polish pass. Use a QA to cut cloudy low mids if the break feels boxy, often somewhere around 200 to 400 Hz. Tame harsh hats or sharp stabs if they spike around 6 to 10 kHz. Keep the sub stripped or tightly controlled until the actual drop returns. And keep checking mono, especially on anything that still carries weight. If the breakdown sounds wide but weak when summed, the issue is usually too much stereo low mid energy or reverb masking the transient. Why this works in DNB is all about contrast. The breakdown is not trying to be the biggest part of the track. It's trying to create the conditions for the drop to feel inevitable. The tighter the core, the more effective the release. The grittier the reset, the harder the next impact lands. A few pro tips can really level this up. Use one dirty layer, not three. A single distorted break fragment or bass ghost with character is usually stronger than stacking multiple half-grimy layers that all fight in the same range. Let the breakdown go a little drier than you think. In darker DNB, too much atmosphere can soften the menace. Resample your filter moves if they're working. Audio lets you place the chaos with precision. And don't underestimate short silence. Sometimes a one beat gap before the drop hits harder than another riser ever could. If you want to get even more musical, think of the breakdown as a controlled loss of pressure. Keep the identity of the drop, but reduce its physical impact. That's the heart of the Roughneck approach. It's not ambient wallpaper. It's a tense reset with attitude. So for your practice, build an 8-bar breakdown first. Keep it simple. Use stock Ableton devices only. Use one break, one motif, and no more than two transition effects. Remove the sub, chop the break, add a filtered bass after image or deliberate bass absence. Then phrase it in 4-bar logic and test it straight into the drop return. Ask yourself three things when you play it back. Can I still feel the groove without the full bass? Does the breakdown create tension without getting overstuffed? And does the return hit harder because of what I removed? If the answer is yes, you've got it. You've made a breakdown that feels focused, grimy, DJ-friendly, and properly arranged. That's the Roughneck mindset. Now go build the 8 bars, then push it to 16, and make the return feel earned.